Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, and welcome to Journeys with JP. Today, our journey happens to be not just through space, but also through time. Except, where is he gone? So, my guest tonight, has been on the show many times. For those of you who've been listening to me for years, we'll have heard this guest before, but, now we, no, that's just so typical. So anyway, so I'll just fill in. I met him maybe 2010, 2011, but, he's been around. He was on MySpace in, back in 2007. And, one of the things that he did when he was there was that he pasted some information in 2007 about 2011, that there would be an earthquake which would have a very serious consequence, and that indeed was Fukushima. And it's still there, and we'll be able to find it once I've got him on, and we'll talk about him. So, after all this hype, great. I'm going just to say, where the heck are you? Hang on. He sees. Right, okay. Hang on, let's try one more time. And, it's very, there you are. Ah, yes. Big, loud noises. Says you're here.
Hello.
Hello. Hello.
How you doing, JP?
All right. Professor, Sir, Lord, Mr., Reverend. Mr.
Title.
Yeah, entitled of Mr. William Stillings. I mean, I'm sure you have one or two numbers or letters after your name, but depending on what institutions you served in.
The accent is trying to say it.
So, good afternoon. Where are you? You're in Pacific time. So, yeah, it's just about after tea time, as we'd have it. So are you full of scones and coffee or something? What do you have in America?
We have my dietary supplement, which consists of bagels with cheese and jalapeno.
Bagels with cheese with jalapeno. Oh, bagels. I miss bagels.
It's good.
Oh, man, I miss bagels.
Enhanced caps or supplement and a little bit of probiotic kefir, there's the cream. Wow. And some cold Starbucks coffee.
Cold.
Yeah, which I kind of like. I like a lot.
It's like an iced coffee, but not like deliberately.
Yeah. And we had 95 degree weather this afternoon.
Oh wow. So you don't even really need to let it cool down. It's just like room temperature is warm enough.
Yeah. Yeah. You find a nice shady spot. And it's how I'm doing it. No air conditioning. No, not a single luxury.
So you're living in a downtown slum. Well, we can't say, but somewhere
beautiful place. It just we don't really advocate the AC usage.
Uh-huh. Yeah,
and quite frankly, don't have one. It's just the days we get hot weather it's hot.
Yeah,
you know, it's, you want AC, you do a road trip and you turn on the AC.
so anyway, let's get down to things. Right now, I've told people that you're a time traveler, which is almost like a ludicrous statement, but you and I know that time travel has been around for quite a while.
Uh-huh.
Developed by the Nazis, indeed, in the Second Reich or Third Reich or something.
Sort of. Can
sort
I,
of. Might have even happened at other times.
Can I ad lib?
Yeah, yeah. Run one off the hip.
What they actually, the real story, and it's been said, and it is actually said correctly. The real story is they went for time travel and the device they made levitated it. And it's what became the, saucer, the disc. They later on had, 50s and 60s and stuff, had done some, little bit of forwarding or forward time travel trips. So, just to keep, or at least when people are addressing me or something, what I identify with is the, Hitler and his team had basically, they were going for time travel, and the device they made actually levitated. It's what became the
Foo Fighters, yeah. Weren't they? They called them. And these are the things that attacked Admiral Byrd and his fleet going down to Antarctica. That they just came out of nowhere. They came out of the sea. They came out of the sky, and it was just like, you know, Daleks with guns on them.
Well, I'll tell you what Hitler discovered. For a fact, he learned, you couldn't really mount guns on the saucers, because it would oscillate the mercury in the primer for discharging the weaponry. So whenever they would start the thing, you know, the ammunition would discharge, or the primers would. They would have the insertable primers, and they would all pop. The same thing happens when you run a gravity generator in front of ammunition. Like I found out with shotgun shells, it oscillates the mercury element 80, a rotor oscillator, and accidentally discharges the ammo. But they circumvented, and they got around it, and they shielded it, the parts of the bottom and stuff, and they could have guns, which really doesn't serve as a very good purpose, being they're pretty unwieldy, craft. And if you're not swirling electrons around the outside of the craft, it's really unstable, and you just kind of bounce all over the place.
So it makes them very unstable, and you know, like you said, so in a way, our conventional firearms don't actually work when you're going through time travel processes, like in Stargate.
No,
you know, because soon as you'd walk towards the thing, all your ammunition would go off and blow you up.
Yeah, which is why you never do jumps with ammunition. And quite frankly, on doing long jumps, something over a minute or whatever, over a couple seconds, you don't take a lighter with you either. You know, lighters, one out of 100, would tend to pop while traversing distance. And, if you're doing a long trip, you may asphyxiate yourself, depending on how long the trip is.
Yeah, this is something we've talked about before, and this is I think this is really, really, a crucial thing, right? Because a couple of the data points we've spoken about is that when, for instance, you went through the jump room, or when one goes through the jump room.
Oh, let's not bore.
All right.
Let's
No. This is about water, and water's really, really important, is that you lose water. You dehydrate. So where does does the water come from everywhere in you? What's the deal with water?
What's the thing is
take a breath, William. Take a breath.
Basically, the water goes back to a time domain, or goes back to the fourth dimension, and it gets sent back to creation. But to give an example and a realistic analogy, or at least a realistic example, you could literally have an unopened plastic bottle of water, which you didn't have too much of, but you did have plastic bottles by 84. And, my sister gave me a leather pouch, camping pouch. But anyways, you could literally take an unopened bottle of water, and about a quarter of the water will be gone out of the bottle before you even break the seal on the top, or before you even open it. And it just, hydrogen. Hydrogen's very unique. You know, hydrogen, helium, and iron. They do and don't fall within quantum states. You know, hydrogen, does fall within all four, bands of it fall within quantum states, and helium, iron don't. Technically they are not there. you know, but hydrogen is one of the few elements under element 60 you can oscillate to get a gravity from without much effort, you know, produce a levitation. And so anyways, hydrogen gets returned back to a time domain. So you know, for the physics lessons.
And, oh my god, I'm just having so many ideas about that. Does that mean, is that how bees fly using hydrogen? Bees levitate, don't they?
But the way Hitler's team was doing it, you know, back in World War II, they were actually doing a harmonic variation of it and resonating. And they were doing the more stable form of levitation or floating around. And, it's a more stable, less bouncy platform. You know, you don't feel the bounce, but, you know, in relation to, you know, perspectively or in relation to looking from Earth and seeing the crap dance all over the sky, they were actually more, user-friendly craft. They weren't great for grabbing a free electron, but they were more stable. But, you know, when you remember me saying back a long time ago, whatever, you know, when I did distance trips, I would get real thirsty real quick.
That's right.
Yeah.
And
the science will find out later, you know, when people, you know, the tabletop, teleporting light and stuff, you know, when social, mainstream social, science and people, get to the epiphany or epiphany or whatever, you know, they'll see the very basics. When you traverse distance, you have to traverse distance. You know, with a lot of the basic, you know, the 8 different forms of teleportation and time travel, quite a few of them are the variations of, you have to run faster than 1.097 meters per second in order to traverse distance. If you don't, you know, teleportation doesn't occur. And, you know, and, you know, people will know and understand the current elections, electronic balloting, electronic voting means rigged. People listen to the testimony of the person who wrote the script for altering, Diebold's, way of doing electronic voting. It would sway the vote 49-51. Just like how the Brexit voting was done. Strangely enough, it couldn't be pulled off in the United States, so it was sold off to, guess where? Britain. And when they did their electronic voting there, guess what? Britain never voted to leave, you know, United Nations.
EU, it's interesting because, you know, actually my personal feeling is that I would have supported that vote, which would have been for the first time ever in my entire life that I agreed with the result of some election and I didn't even vote in it. And so there you go. Yeah. So it was rigged anyway. Come I agree with the government? Something is wrong. I agree with the way the government's rigged the vote. There's something wrong with it. Yeah.
People going to do some voting in the United States, like, get real. Look what's in office now. We can't stand it. Can't stand it. Can you? I mean, you're not even a U.S. citizen, and you can't stand it.
I can't stand it. Listen, I have to listen to Sean ranting day after day since 2012. About, well, not day after day, twice a week. But anyway.
10% of us not even I made it funny. Sorry.
That's all right. But anyway, so talking of time travel, but it was very interesting. Now, I just want to say thank you for outlining the some of the history of the technology there. I'm sure it's a very valuable for many of my listeners who are just as interested in me in the time traveling Nazi story and how it all fits together and how it's connected with Bush and Scientology and all these things. And
well, it's the real story.
Yeah.
It's the real story.
So.
I feel,
go ahead. Please go ahead.
No. There's a delay on the phone and an echo now because I'm loud. But, so JP, how you been?
How have I been? I've had some very interesting, times and adventures, and, new things have come my way, and also, I had this big insight, about, 3 or 4 months ago, and it was about like the birth trauma of the whole human race and how I can heal it. And that sounds a bit like, it's all about, PTSD. And what was the first PTSD? And I traced it back all the way to a place called Lyra. It's a very old story. And, but it's given me an insight into how to help people who have PTSD.
Oh, nice.
So, you know, if you're interested, for anybody that you might know, we can try it. It's a new thing, but, it's really simple and it really gets to the heart of the matter and it's very quick.
I would be interested. My foot only burns a little bit and my blood pressure doesn't go over 160.
Interesting.
At times. So whatever. If I go through anything, or if I've been going through anything, I got most of it under control. It's just, it's just the people who can't navigate or negotiate a four-way stop. It's really
things that really make your blood boil. What about traffic wardens? Yeah. Do you have traffic wardens over there? People who write tickets and stick them on your car?
No. We have people like me who get out of the car and start ranting. What kind of F-tard are you? You're on the right. Go next. You got a pedal. It's on the right. Came with the car. Makes it go forward.
You crank the sarcasm up to max.
Oh my God.
So that you don't sort of hurt people. Would it be dangerous if you had something like a flash gun? You know, and you got into a mood
that. Please don't bring up those type of comparatives. No, no. I'm very docile. And
You just take your clothes off.
Yeah. That old structure. I got a vent. I got a vent.
It's a
taxes a little excessive. Come on. I see some criminality.
Yeah.
Yeah. FBI guy when they're all tax conscientious of 2008. Every time I'd see one, I'd say, be sure to pay your taxes. And he said, you pay your taxes, right? And I say, no way. No. the only taxes I recognize really is, kind of the mainstream ones, but, I don't recognize income tax. I recognize capital gains tax. The country was founded on capital gains tax. And I recognize, real estate tax at 1.5%. The country was founded on it. Those are the real taxes. The other taxes aren't so real. The IRS is definitely not real. Definitely doesn't have any law anywhere in any book which would even validate them doing what they do. They are completely illegal. They operate illegally. They are just completely illegal, but not to get a thing.
They're essentially a mafia, aren't they, really, the IRS and the Federal Reserve?
Yeah,
they're a mafia who've been feeding the Nazis since 1913, I believe.
Wesley Snipes loves them. In fact, Wesley Snipes, I just saw a post of Wesley Snipes. He's like, God, I love the IRS. They're so good to me. Somebody tried to say that one of the political runners or one of the people running for president, not politician, but Trump hadn't paid taxes in 18 years, which I would find a little hard to believe. Wesley Snipes didn't pay taxes for 3 years and they stuck him in federal, you know?
I imagine that Trump has a lot of global holdings that don't necessarily sort of land in America. You know,
yeah,
I mean?
Or he just keeps doing what's legal to do and he just keeps bouncing and circulating it, which is just fine.
So meanwhile,
Rothschild Bank doesn't really exist in Russia anymore, does it?
That was thrown out, I hear. This is all good news. What about, and in Iceland, they're also doing things like that. So.
Oh, I think Iceland stomped them.
Yeah. And I think so there are good news, there is good news that is going and that is happening in our world. And I want to talk about, how you're contributing to this good news. Cause you're into something that has been my fascination for a long time. And that's, energy devices. In particular, you've been developing a device. Oh my God. I've just thought about, you know, in the sex aid industry, you could make a really large, Anyway, meanwhile.
Oh yeah.
You know, imagine. Yes, exactly. So.
Going.
It just never stops. So please tell us about your laptop battery. How's the development going? Because I not only do I want one, and I think I put $50 towards one, so it's just like, that's my down payment. I'll pay the rest, don't worry.
Development has been off for quite a while, but I picked it up academically, and then even more serious in the last month. To where, you know, I have a 40-watt UV dryer, from basically a nail salon, and quite a few other things. I have a good amount of vinyl alcohol PVA. And, quite a few other things, and the batteries I roll, do really good. They charge up very quickly. I definitely want to get back into the Overunity device where they're self-charging, where you don't have to do anything.
And, this is the one.
You know, yeah. And, you know, to just where you just have to take it out every 5 years, the magnets, and just recondition them and just put them back in. And, I found a way of downsizing to it to, you know, to a Droid or to a cell phone or to a G6 or, you know, a Galaxy. And, those are just not to have to even think about charging up anymore is just great. But the batteries work great. They're not quite, as outputish or, you know, they certainly don't have the, they discharge close, like 2/3 of what a lithium does.
What's the cell voltage?
It doesn't really seem to go over, 3.9, really. It doesn't. They won't.
3.9. That's a little bit of an improvement on the 3.7, though, of the lithium.
Yeah, but, you know, 4.2, you know, they go 3.9, 4.0 very reliably, and they're slow release, but they have a high discharge. You know, they can output really quick. But they're, you know, a self-tempering, you know, the discharge rate. But the as I keep, you know, I'm just doing things typically what most people have tried, but just a little variation. Basically, cooking the graphene or the graphite oxide a little bit more, and. Doing some other things and doing the leads, doing the connectors, and really comparable capacitance with the size of the battery I'm rolling. You know, it's near, you know, 18650, but isn't quite the dimension, but it's keeping pace, if anything.
So it takes about as much energy, or it's holding about as much energy as a comparable size lithium battery, is what you're saying, yeah? Which is the normal technology that you get inside your mobile phone.
Yeah, and only taking around 7 minutes to charge up.
7 minutes to charge up. Now that's a difference.
Yeah.
And that's because it's got a very low internal resistance. How do you manage that?
It's the alignment. It's basically the cooking. I'm doing a very low budget, cheap, version of basically I'm UVing the, put a colorful phrase on it. I'm UVing the crap out of the, I'm reducing the graphite. One process I was doing, you know, with, hydrogen peroxide, the other process, a different process. I'm not going to say it. It'll sound very, synonymous, but I'm doing it better than what they've tried in the lab. And doing the leads and everything, the resistance is just almost not there. It's almost resistantless. I mean, you know, 7 minutes, the full charge is, you know, it's getting down to the 2 minute, 30 second or 30 second range. You know, there's not much of a difference, you know, when it's uniformly aligned and stuff. And, the purity or the, you know, the way it's done, you know, it's, you know, pretty much, you know, eventually 30 second or 1 minute charge time. You know, and your phone goes for a couple days. You know, you plug in for 30 seconds, you know, go out the door. You don't have to really carry a cord around, or you just carry a little short cord and you just plug in for a few seconds. I wish I could say the same for the phone I'm on right now.
It's nice to dream, isn't it? But, you know, that's the first thing that's going to get it, isn't it? You know, it's like, I'm going to start on you. But
I did one and it did great for a couple of days, and basically, you know, the way I did it, it just started falling apart. But I got the good idea on it. I did it to just, get the basic, premise. And the way I did it is, it's very viable and it charges up very quickly. And, you know, had I done it, more time, you know, spent better time on it, better materials, and then the thing would be just absolutely, you know, fantastic. I'd be just happy. You know, you could watch a 3-hour movie and then just go plug in for, a couple minutes.
Now, what's the kind of current that's passing when it's charging in a couple of minutes?
Well, you can cram in a lot of current, surprisingly. I've crammed in over 5 amps and, so far.
And it doesn't get warm.
Just because. No, it didn't at all.
Wow. It can eat 5 amps and not get warm.
Yeah, it might have gotten a little, warm around the edges, but I mean, just like temperature difference, not warm really. Really nothing to speak of. And, you know, when I passed the 4 amp stage and stuff and did it, I kind of stopped checking. I was more focused on another thing. But it's about as far as I've gotten. I just playing around with a little bit of phosphoric acid and some other things and, just doing basically what, you know, other ways of doing it. And just, you know, I'm just nitpicking, just debugging it.
Uh-huh. It's always good to get a kind of reliable recipe.
Yeah. Yeah. What I'm doing is I'm actually, I took a CD drive apart, you know, for a computer and I took out the two stainless steel rollers, and so basically I just made a little roller to a uniform roller where it just makes it to a certain thickness. And the laminate I'm using, or the plastic material, has a electric strength of I think it's 5,184 volts per 1.06. So it's really good material, but it's super thin, and it's what I'm not going to say what type of material, but the graphene or the plates on it. It dries on there really nicely, and it stays on really firm. It doesn't flake off. It's pretty malleable, for a couple times. And so basically, just doing some flat packs, just rolling it through a certain thickness, and then just letting them dry, and then just wrapping them, and putting the circuit on for the battery and the, for typical cell phones, putting the, the phone needs to recognize the circuitry, even though it doesn't have a real need for a safety switch or a safety cutoff. But, I found, a couple brand of batteries where the voltage can drop below 3 volts and it doesn't cut out permanently the safety switch. When you plug the phone back in, it, resets it. Some of them, not so reliable.
Oh, so, is your battery, immune to being over discharged? Because the trouble with lithium is if you take it down to less than 3 volts, you start to kill the battery. Is yours battery survives? There you are. You're back.
Yeah. What happened? I was singing to the music. I didn't know I was,
All right. Yeah. Well, you were talking and then suddenly you stopped talking and there was nothing. There was complete silence and I played my, I'll just wait until Skype sorts it out music.
Oh, I was singing to it. I'm like, all right, JP's on something, doing something. Where did I cut out at?
Well, you were talking about how your battery is able to go below 3 volts, or is it able to do deeply discharge and then survive? That's basically my question.
Yeah. Discharging them doesn't matter, but the circuitry, for the circuitry I have to use the generic circuitry, what the phone original battery came with. There's quite a few different battery makers to where the circuitry isn't permanently shut off, where most of them reset by just putting voltage back through them like you're charging up the thing. I came across a couple batteries where the safety isn't on there, and they're cheap Chinese ones, and they're great. They're actually the ones which started fires, which would flip polarity. The old Nokia style. You there, JP?
Yeah, I'm here. It would flip polarity. These are the ones that burst into flame. How would they flip polarity? Yeah.
Well, the circuitry, the agency, or CIA, would put a signal through, and the instructional packet, not virus, but the instructional packet would just flip the polarity on the circuitry and it would burst the battery. The battery, if it was a LiPo, would burst in the flames.
We don't like that.
No. But actually, Nokia was the originator of it. And, a couple of years later, it pops back up under a different market, and guess what, China product is incorporated, and guess what? The Galaxy, which got recalled. Remember?
Yours. The Samsung Galaxy.
With the Galaxy and with the new notebook or the new computer. I can't remember which one, but it had a one of the indicators was if the light was green instead or pinkish instead of green, it indicated
it means it's smoldering under the keyboard.
There's a lockout procedure, or there's a procedure you can do to clear it up, but you know, the manufacturer of the company doesn't know what it is. So they recalled all those first notebooks where people were all excited to have. If you have, the first, computers, sent out with the battery pack or whatever, it's a recall thing. You know what I mean? Know what I mean? So, was the, basically. But these don't do, these are damn safe. These can cram a lot of energy in, and, they don't have metallic lithium, which can, be formed on the thing if it's charged or discharged too quickly or charged wrong.
Yeah, that's the thing is that these things, lithiums, they swell up when they let them get hot. But these, yours doesn't morph. It doesn't morphologically expand.
No. And you have like 17% lithium in the rechargeables. And when you charge it up, the lithium will go metallic. And when you open one up and if it's fully charged, you open it up and then run it underwater, it'll burst into flames. Or you can get a whole bunch of them, open them up when they're fully charged and stick them in the LA water or some other water reserves, and you can drug like half the county.
Don't say that.
Lithium hydroxide. Yeah. Yeah. There's a lithium hydroxide.
Well, why don't we do that in Washington? That might be a better idea. In D.C.
They're already doing it in L.A. You remember the story L.A. put 93 million plastic balls in the L.A. Reservoir?
Yeah, what was all that about? Stop it evaporating or something? Or that was what they said.
Yeah, but they painted the balls black.
Black balls.
I mean, yeah, black balls. They it's not about water, typically it was originally to actually shield over the water to keep the ash out for like, say, if volcanoes blew up or mass fires or something, it was to keep the ash out of the water, and it would just cake on top of the floating plastic balls. I say, what I wrote a couple years ago was and LA paid 35 cents a ball for those. You believe it? They literally shelled out like $30 million for the balls.
There's got to be a joke in here.
Yeah.
But.
Yeah. But, and I say, hey, China, 5 cents a ping pong ball. Smaller dimension. It's white. It reflects light. You know, it won't start to really, break down the sunlight for about 3 years, and after 3 years, just take a match to it and have one big bonfire for 8 minutes.
So meanwhile, how did you get that out?
Huh?
Biodegradable. Look, I'm talking about batteries and how marvelous your batteries. Look, I want how can we make this happen? I want to see these things in everybody's thing rather than having people fighting in Afghanistan over the lithium.
This is
a carbon product, isn't it?
Why don't people just make it out of sodium? Make sodium, sodium battery has the same voltage value. I mean, really.
You know,
just get some metallic sodium and thin it into roll it into a sheet and make disposables out of it. I mean, why not?
Wouldn't it be possible to have a series of small YouTube guerrilla battery builders kind of videos, like how to build batteries that will run your run your things, run your toys and machines for longer than the commercial ones that are non-toxic, and because a lot of them are very toxic. I mean, think about it. Nickel cadmium, nickel metal hydride. What metal is that in the metal hydride? Do you know?
Well, a nickel metal, going back to the basics.
Sorry, I've thrown you that. That was a real curveball, and somebody can look it up and send it to me.
But, I know. Yeah. It's very common, and you blindsided me.
I'm sorry.
It's all right.
Forgive me.
I know what it is, though, but I just can't read.
Okay,
it's very
common. So here's the thing. Have you used in your carbon experiments? Have you ever used powdered shungite?
No.
Okay. It's all very. Have you heard of it?
No. No.
It's a carbon. Not really. Carbon 60.
I'm not going to nanotube or buckyball anything. Yeah, I'm sure it would do probably superior, just simply aligning. But you don't really have access to it. And, but somebody out there, would be great.
Do you want some nano powder? I can get you some nano powder. Some shungite nano powder. I'll see what I can do.
Yeah. Send a couple of grams, my way. And I'll put a couple, three different projects, just do the basic comparative on it and see how it does.
It might be very interesting.
I'm just completely thrilled though, honestly, with just you literally using pencils or just, getting, graphite and just reducing it.
Just a regular ground up graphite. Fantastic.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it does. It really does do good. I mean, it's not given the benefit it should be. I mean, it really, it's damn good grade. I mean, it really is. You have to find the right pencils and stuff, but the older style wooden ones work great. They grind up great. You grind them up. Either do the hydrogen peroxide or a different process. And
do you split them out of the wood? You take them out of the wood, yeah?
Oh yeah.
Take out the graphite. Yeah.
Yeah, just very cheaply, just grind it up. Split it out of there and grind it up and. You either do the acidic method or do the hydrogen peroxide. I'm a big peroxide fan. And, both processes do great. And, just add water and, after you dry it and, precipitate and after you dry it and, run it through a mesh and stuff and collect it up and dry it and rinse it and dry it. Just add water and, put it in solution when you get the right color. There's a few other things you can do and, get the right color and consistency for it and paint it on and let it dry. And when it dries, UV it and, 4 or 5 days later, you have, you're pasting, battery together.
So, this is, and you kind of paint that stuff onto a substrate like a plastic, like you got this a very high resistant plastic, and and that's it, and you just kind of as you do, once you've blown a few of them up, you start taking them apart, and all these little silver batteries they're just layers of a foil with a plastic insulating layer. So you can roll it up and then they flatten it out and then that's your mobile phone battery and stuff like that in a little canister. So that more or less the same kind of process, yeah?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Interesting.
And, And, you just put a metallic layer or just copper plate and then you just do the graphite or the graphene on top of the copper plate, you know, if you want to make treat the electrodes. And it just makes it more phenomenal to where you just get really super high capacitance and discharge out of it.
I see. So you got a copper plate either end to give you the big current, the big current gate there.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Yeah. Thank you so much. I was, now struggling for gas and
yeah, that's all right.
Dollar burritos at Del Taco are great. Been living on those.
Oh wow.
One or two a day. You know, it's just until the paycheck clears and picks up and stuff. It's just, you know, it's a momentary thing.
Listen, you need a PayPal.me account. Go to PayPal and you can get a sort of donate page. And, you know, people can donate to your exploits and your, you're living. He's a very skinny man, people, because he lives on tacos and like lives on the road. And but he's yeah. Anyway, meanwhile, I was telling people right at the beginning of the show while I was trying to get hold of you, about your MySpace account that you put in 2007.
2007.
Wasn't it? Do you want to tell people, yeah, because I kind of vaguely went over it, but in my usual, like, I don't remember all the details kind of way. Do you want to tell people a little bit more precisely about exactly what you did in order to prove a certain point, wasn't it?
All right. Yeah. All right. In around June or July, I started becoming a little upset. On very upsetting family, personal reasons, very worried. So I basically, MySpace consisted of blogs. So I wrote a little blog. I wrote three of them, actually. I wrote one, California Earthquake 2000 or Meteor Impact 2010. And wrote about Swift Tuttle going a meteor going into transit. When Venus went into transit, when it came back around the sun, it would be blindsided; wouldn't be seen a couple months later. And you know, there's two periods: 2008, 2012, and 2016. And both of those actually came to fruition. And but we'll go a little bit more into detail. I became very upset. I was seeing future events, and I one in particular. It was mostly for my emotional therapy, my emotional comfort. But one I encoded, and I titled it in 2007. I wrote the article or the blog, and I titled it Japan Earthquake 2011, and. In the 2011, why do I feel like I'm talking to people elsewhere?
I'm big on Tau Ceti, apparently.
I am sure. I'll just keep going on the story.
Yeah, okay.
So, I titled it Japan Earthquake 2011, and listing it numerically. I encoded it March 11th, 2011 and said, four nuclear reactors would blow up on the northeast side of Japan, after, you know, it'd be a big tsunami and there'd be like quite a few hundred of feet of housing timber, suggesting the wave would be very big. And four nuclears would explode basically on the same day. And, so in 2010, I called the four main nuclear reactor companies along the east side of Japan and was basically asking them if they could maybe shut down, you know, in the first of, in the first of March. And I actually asked them if they could shut down the 1st of March, 1st of April, because I started getting confused on some things I was interpreting. But I asked them, I got a hold of some people, people spoke English. One in particular spoke some really good English, and she transferred me, and I believe it was the Fukushima plant, and she transferred me to the main person in charge. The person who answered the phone was female, and she was the main person on the floor in charge. And I said, "Hey, you know, this is the United States, you know, calling on behalf of the government. But you're about to, you know, in a couple months, you're about to have a really big earthquake in around the first week of March." And I got transferred to the main guy. He talked to me for 20 minutes until I started saying the reactor will explode, you know, around March 10th, March 11th in March. And it's when he abruptly hung up. Oh. Sorry.
Did it sound like, maybe he sounds like a threat. It's like.
Yeah, I reassured him. I was saying, it's not a threat. I'm not threatening. I'm saying we have some reason to believe there will be an earthquake in March. He says, I understand. And I said, you know, I'm looking at some things where it's, where there just may be an earthquake and there'll be a big tidal wave. And he was listening, but as soon as I got to the reactor part, he hung up. And, I do remember, 2010, a couple people dedicated a YouTube video saying my prediction to the nuclear reactors in Japan blowing up was, stupid. And I remember specifically I bookmarked it. But after Fukushima, about a month later, I looked at the guy's site. He said, I made a video, and I left a comment saying, yeah, and you called me crazy and you slammed me. He's like, dude, who are you? I said, how'd you know? And I never answered, never replied. But,
So that was the notorious. You had a, what was your name? Hang on.
Oh, listen, we don't need to bring it.
All right. Okay. Yeah. Cause you use the different.
Yeah. Anyways, it's been validated. It had been validated by a news agency, Coast to Coast validated it. They were looking right at it. And I even called Coast to Coast in February. I called in February of 2011.
And, is that someone talking to you in the background?
No.
They're talking to someone. Discussion. All right, okay. Are you okay to talk?
Yeah, I'm fine. Kids have an argument. And it was just distracting. It was, So anyways, I called Coast to Coast. I said, you gotta let me on the air. You know, it affects the United States. It's important. You know, seafood's gonna be out for a couple of years. And, you know, I recorded the call. And, explaining to them, in March, you know, first or second week of March, you know, three or four nuclear reactors will blow up. And, they didn't let me on the air, but whatever. And, they remarked it, George Norrie remembered it, and he spoke on the air a few times. I'm sure you've heard or.
George Norrie, I can't listen to him for more than 15 seconds. And you can't listen to me for more than 55 minutes before this music comes in. And we'll see you on the other side of this with more Journeys Through Time with Dr. Mr. Professor William Stillings. Oh yeah, welcome back to Journeys with JP. We sound like we're traveling in a time vortex. Your environment has a lot of background noise. So, are you actually in your time machine as we speak, William? I mean, this is taking it right to the end, you know.
The references drives me up a wall. No, it was a couple of kids were having some little school thing where they were upset with another kid or something. And it was just distracting. I was just like, they couldn't have picked any other spot. You know, kids can be very self-centered or they were just having a complete meltdown with each other. So.
And people do that all around you.
No. I'm out and about right now. I'm, sitting, it's been really hot out, so I'm basically sitting under a tree.
Sitting nicely in the shade somewhere. Okay, so good. Let's talk about tree thoughts. Because, you know, so what we were talking about, over in the last hour are things that have, inspired you. And this is what I always like to talk about on journeys, you know, one's inspiration, the things that bring us forward. Now I have certainly had inspiring moments in the last few months of all kinds of, neat ideas. And since you're like the most inventive fellow that I know, I'm wondering what's been downloaded into your noggin recently, if there's anything that you'd like to share.
Not much. I'm pretty much all about a previous experience and stuff, and you know, I've spewed out to the world, my plight and how I see things and you know what is and you know. Hold on, I'm gonna sneeze.
Bless you. Bless you.
Thank you.
Bless you. Gesundheit and things.
Gesundheit. one of my little keyed up points was, you know, I had a concern with the United States. You know, the winds from Japan was very concerning because they blow east. Learning what I learned about Fukushima and the reactor blowing up 4 years before it happened was really concerning. You know, being, you know, the realization that most of our vitamins come from the sea, right?
They do.
It's no wonder everything is farm raised. Why farm raise something when you have a whole ocean of it? Maybe because it won't be there? Why did Deadliest Catch, the cable, show in the seasons right after Fukushima, why all of a sudden did all their crab disappear? Why did the crab they caught were either deformed or burnt, like radiation burns? Some didn't have limbs, some were grotesquely deformed. Remember?
There's been some interesting, multi-faceted creatures, multi-headed, yeah. Multi-tailed, multi-tail heads. Yeah. Yes. Rather deformed, as you'd expect from a sea that has been poisoned by radiation.
Yeah. And, a couple of the prominent, they rake in, $750,000 every time they go out fish, go bankrupt. You know, a couple of them. You know, people have watched the show. I mean, put two and two together, folks. You know, and surprisingly, it's not even a concern really anymore. It's not. But my concern is how people handled it. You know, very few people listened. Very few people took heed. You know, how are they going to handle this? You know, look what's in the White House right now.
How are they going to handle the truth? All right. So here's another aspect of truth. You know the real Barack Obama, or you for a long time personally known.
You're not going to
comment that way. Okay. All right. But those of us who have been listening to your shows know that you have a personal relationship with this fellow, albeit a long time ago.
I don't.
You don't?
Wait, no.
All right. Okay.
He's shady as shit. And, sorry. And it's sold more drugs to the United States than the CIA brought in from 72 to 79. I'm sorry, the 83. An agency. It's not a joke.
Well, he's an asset, you know, and this is what we all seem to, you know, everybody in the truth group, like, or those who know insider people understand that it's nothing to do with power. It's to do with movements of drugs to make people loads of money. And primarily gold, actually, isn't it? It's about movements of gold.
Silver.
And silver, yeah. Silver's the good stuff as well, isn't it? That's the rare stuff.
Yeah. It's, look at the poor metals. Those are the valuable ones. Look at the, transitional ones. You know, they don't, you know, gold stays gold for a very, very long time. The other elements don't always stay the same. They turn into other things. No, those are finite.
That's right.
More or less. So what would be more valuable?
Exactly. Yeah. So, talking of metals while we're on the subject, I'm trying to think of all these questions. Like, you know, during the times that I don't see you, I think,
Can I pose a discussion?
Yeah, hit me.
For people out there, look at it from my point of view. People voted in, or at least intended to vote in. They voted for somebody who didn't have an ID, whose father was a subject under British rule, and has lied at least three times about his name publicly. But he's still residing in the White House. How much of a battle do people expect for me or interest in any discussion to really put in to whatever? And they haven't even addressed the issue of, rigged ballots, electronic voting. I mean, come on.
It's the easiest thing in the world. If you can't, you know, and I was watching in 2000. Not many Brits were watching America in 2000, but I was watching in 2000, and I saw Al Gore win, and then the Supreme Court, and like big confusion, and suddenly, boom, there's George Bush, and WTF he's doing there. You know?
Well, George Bush was supposed to be there, but, Florida, where did they have electronic voting?
Exactly. So.
Wasn't one of the few, states which was doing it at the time was? Holds a 26 electoral, or 26, college vote, right? I think California's 55, 26 Florida, 21 for,
all this thing is just—it's just complicated stuff, so that people don't get it. That they've been fraudulented out of actually the whole thing's a fraud because there's a selection.
It better happen myself and everyone. My first questions when I was a kid, just as well as somebody else, very significant, wondered, why aren't votes just counted by how many people vote? And exactly what you, this whole system is dumb. And this was back in the early 70s.
Yeah, anyone can see that. It's just so open to be corrupt. It's just completely open to be corrupt. You know. All right, so everybody puts their votes in here, and we'll jig them all around and say this lot, this lot, this lot, this lot. But in the end, it'll be some anonymous group of people who will say, "Oh yeah, him," or "Oh yeah, her," you know. And it's rubbish. That's just such BS.
Yeah.
We're just going to pull, which color rabbit do you think we're going to pull out of the hat? Do you think it'll be a red one or a green one? A green one. Oh, look, it's a red one. Yeah. Anyway.
Well, I absolutely love, the first George Bush. And I pranked the second George Bush, a couple times. That was fun. It was near orange groves and stuff. And,
you pranked him. What did you do? Run naked around him?
Yeah.
You shouldn't run naked when he's got arms, you know, when he's armed.
Oh no, no, no. I was coaxed. I mean, he didn't have guards at the time, and it wouldn't be needed. It wouldn't be required. I mean, you know, it's not the same thing, you know, like if you're at a store and he was president and stuff and he walked through the store or something or through the, whatever. But no, I know you don't have the greatest love for the guy, but.
He sounds like Beavis.
I know. But,
or is it by
his father? You know, awesome person, and love the guy. And my former boss, really, and a lot of people's former boss.
Yeah.
And, is.
Yeah, and, I know. He supported a lot of contractors.
Yeah, I mean, great marksman.
well, GHB Senior. Oh, no, who was it? Yeah, who's the great marksman, the one who shot his mate in the face? Wasn't that, that was Cheney, wasn't it?
No. I made a little joke, but I'm not going to allude to what it is. I just, good person. So, so I've been, doing the battery thing a little bit on and off. Not, you know, when I have the time for.
Mm-hmm.
And, doing, you know, just other things, but mostly I've started up a new position, and, I'm waiting for my, check to,
It's waiting for the check to clear.
Yeah.
Is that wimpy?
I don't know what it is, but the way they did it, the bank put a, because it came from like outside someplace, they put a 10-day hold type thing on it.
Oh, it's gonna. Yeah. So anyway, meanwhile, what I was thinking, during the break was some of these, like the vision that you were talking about and these visions that you were having. Mm-hmm. Do you think that, because of the Project Pegasus experience, may have opened you up to some kind of vision or seer ability, or are these like residual comment. Things? Or do you can't comment on that?
Not really, but you know, a lot of people have intuition and stuff. We all have intuition, and and see a lot of things and, you know, what good, you know, but really what good does it do when people don't listen?
Well, this is the plight of the prophet. And this is why I have Full Spirit Radio.
Edgar Cayce was great. Let's look at Edgar Cayce, you know, his talent. He the guy was great. I mean, he's right about Putin. This is the downtime where basically Putin, prevents World War III from occurring.
Apparently he's prevented World War III from occurring about 6 times this year alone.
Yeah.
He's my hero, I tell you. I love him. Or whatever he is, you know, who knows that these people are real or not. But, so Edgar Cayce, very interesting. I got the same birthday as Edgar Cayce. He was born on the same day as me.
Oh, wow.
I'm a Piscean, March 18th.
Wow. Yeah.
As it says, 1818 on my clock here.
Oh, wow.
Meanwhile. What day is your birthday? What day of the month is it?
I don't, I'm Capricorn.
You're Capricorn.
I'm emotional.
Yeah. You're an emotional Capricorn. Emotional Capricorn. Yeah, my sister's a Capricorn and she's very emotional towards me, or she always was, but then not in a nice way. She wasn't very, she wasn't very nice to me.
She wasn't or was?
She was not very nice to me, no. Anyway, that's another story. We're not going to express it.
You're a fish.
I'm a fish and she's a goat fish and she can't quite decide whether she's a goat or a fish. And so she just takes it out on me. On the other fish, yeah. My brother was a Libra. He's just a scale, you know. See? Anyway. goofing around. Meanwhile, in terms of a philosophical kind of inspirations and ways of thinking, perspectives that we pick up along the way. Most of the time people have this perspective of 9 to 5, but this wasn't something that you grew up with, was it? In that sort of way.
Well, I don't know. I pretty much really have ever said, all I could really say is, what I see is, what I've been saying is get what's in the White House out.
Mm-hmm.
Put a female in, which isn't Hillary Clinton.
Yeah. How are we going to do that? Have we got anyone? I mean, do you know what? Let me just tell you a little story. I had a ghost here once. Right? It has to be a paranormal story, right? I had a ghost here once. And what was very interesting is that she was a ghost from 1760 something. I can't remember exactly. I don't normally get names, but it was really interesting that this ghost was a very, very bright, she was like, she'd really kind of got it. She really understood why she was in that predicament. Obviously she had a long time to think about it and really understood it and had simply needed to forgive herself in the first place.
Uh-huh.
And, I asked her what her name was and she said, Elizabeth Warren. And so when I discovered that there was an Elizabeth Warren who was actually a female politician, I kind of opened up and I was wondering, I wonder if that's a soul fragment of this particular present day Elizabeth Warren. You were saying we need a grandmother. We need a grandmother in the White House, don't we? Someone properly
basically
can run a clan. A proper.
Yeah. Most of the country need a nanny. Yeah. Grandmother. Need a grandmother.
A nanny.
Yeah.
because not like a nanny state, but somebody who really knows what, you know, grandmothers understand. If you've survived long enough to be a grandmother, you know shit. You know stuff, you know.
Yeah.
And
people are doing themselves in. I mean, they're just doing themselves in exponentially on roids. Yeah, a lot of things right now need babysitting for sure. Or
exactly.
Anxiety. Yeah.
So in the chat room here was saying Vingage is saying we need an American Indian in the White House. How about an American Indian grandmother? So that would be nice, wouldn't it?
Be interesting.
Yeah. So do you have any preferences? What's that?
It'd be a big mess. I mean, no matter how you look at it, really.
It is a big mess. It's already a big mess. You know, and if ever it gets sorted out, which I really hope is something that is, this whole thing has got to implode soon, because it's just gone, it's like insane, as you say, on roids. There are predictions that, the election's gonna be cancelled because basically, there's only gonna be one, according to Fulford this afternoon, there's only gonna be one candidate left.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever that means. Well,
remember I said on your show there wasn't going to be a 2017 election.
That's right. That's right. You did.
Yeah.
So,
A couple of years ago.
And it's there. It's all in the archives. Just search for Stillings and it'll be there.
There wasn't going to be a, Olympics either for, in 2020.
And, yeah.
Can't have elections where there's no land. I mean,
really. Are we going to say that there's going to be no America by 2020, or will it be some other thing?
It'll be some other type of thing. It'll be a America is still America, no matter what it looks like.
Mm-hmm. Do you have a vision that it will be more sane and run in a more fair way, or do you still see like mafia controlled government for the rest of eternity stretching forward from now until hell?
Well, I don't see the mafia part, but shit stinks and you just take away the smell, it's still crap.
So, yeah. Well, you gotta clean it up. You gotta clean it up, haven't you? I mean, when you say, you know, if somebody gets into the White House, it'll be a mess. There's a really horrible mess.
You get a little yellow stain and a bald spot in the,
Oh, you just get a new carpet, you know. Yeah. We can afford the new carpet. If somebody came into the White House now and found out what was really going on, probably, you know, if I was, I'd just blow the place up. I'd just like get everybody out in the street, right, go home, you know, demolish the building, start the whole thing again, and actually let the people do what they need to do and stopping people from doing what they want to do.
Already have. Yeah. It already is. It's, yeah, it's just, what country are you in?
I'm in the state of Scotland. Actually, I'm in the independent state of JP. I have my own time and space bubble here in Scotland. It's 16th century. I'm hiding myself in a pocket in hyperspace. Didn't you know that? That's why Skype's so hard to do, you know.
You have an immigrant problem there. I mean, as far as like what the rest of the world has been seeing, like Germany. Germany has gotten a huge influx of a specific group. Have you seen the specific group in where you're at?
No, because I'm in a very remote part of the country where they don't like to go to. They seem to go to like to, you know, gather in places where there are things. There's nothing here. There are no things, and it's cold. And there are midges. It's cold in the winter and midges in the summer, and it's really unpleasant to be.
Well, not an economic parasitic, breeding ground, I guess.
Yeah, so, I mean, basically, hell in a handbasket, and something may just kind of, made the whole, I don't know, I mean, all right. Do you want to put your prophet cloak on and lay down a couple of prophecies? Since you've been telling us how good a prophet you are, all right? Mr. Challenge, this is the challenge of being a prophet in the modern age. You know, you're only good as your last prophecy.
I'm pretty good.
All right.
I see it dropping.
Your remote viewing.
I see it dropping off in the United States, where we don't incur so much the failing or the whole upheaval, which was supposed to be, things going to crap in a whole different way. And, it's what the guillotines were for originally. You heard about the guillotines a long time ago, which, the whole thing was basically phased out. But those were for the other contingency, which had a very high odds of not happening. Being what's still in the White House, you know, it's, those, the kind of thinking is, basically being reconsidered. You know, what Mother Nature is not doing, if you know what I mean.
The people can assist in some way.
From what I can read into it, basically. But anyways, things are great.
Assisted composting. Yeah.
Land management. Bring in the BLM.
Oh, right, yeah. That doesn't work so well. So there's all sorts of stuff happening. Hey, what's your feeling about the pipeline thing?
They're running a huge pipeline where to where?
Across America?
Yeah.
And all the First Nations are coming out and saying no and doing their thing?
Yeah, I think it's dumb.
Not
it's
good
not
idea.
Required.
Really?
Well, after the first, you know, things are pretty good. You know, they got a handle on the nuclear reactors, on decommissioning them. They're 10, 20 years past service expectancy.
Talking of service expectancy, did you contact the Pilgrim? Was there an accident at the Pilgrim thing, wasn't there? I remember you said that, you know, now, when did I speak to you about that? That was 2011?
January 5th. Yeah. Pilgrim, was to have an accident at one of their reactors. And one of the cool things is I think I was so vocal and so loud and so public. They announced they were having an unscheduled shutdown of one of the reactors, and it would last through Christmas. And I said, all right, I'm like, cool. I'm like, they're doing it. They're putting safety ahead of other things. They'll bring it back on January, February. They didn't bring it back up online until April or May.
So they found something.
Yeah, I think so. I think they corrected it, whatever it was. What I saw, they couldn't correct it. I mean, it was, basically corrosion, brittleness in the middle, huge. I mean, a foot wide on the inside of the reactor. And it was a reactor like, they had one of the reactors like Fukushima, you know, Mark 1 reactor. but they only had several of them there, if I remember right. And I couldn't discern as to which one, but it was a problem of one of them they knew about, but it was worse than they thought it was. And it was the problem when they discovered there was a problem, they were shutting down. In the second or third day of shutdown, there was still pressure, still steam, and it had popped. And in the storyline. And so apparently they averted it. They shut down way earlier. And and you know, so Massachusetts Pilgrim nuclear facility gets a haiku for not wiping out the East Coast or putting safety ahead of profit.
Well, there you go. Well, sometimes, you know, it takes a little smack around the face to wake up. So there you go. So there's a hit, and one that I can, you know, I can vouch for. That you could show is like, you know, Y2K. People say to me, yeah, because I was all over TV. I was all over British TV about Y2K, not consciously, but it just happened. And you know, people say, look at you. Are you happy you failed? You know, and I'm like, no, I didn't fail. The reason I didn't fail is because you're still using the internet and you're still using your computers, and it's because that didn't fail. We actually got the message out. So sometimes we do get the message out, and sometimes people do listen. And I think that's all we can hope for, is to get to that feeling of it's a kind of the joy of I told you so. No, I don't know what it is. Is it? It's not really I told you so, because it's not a great thing to say. You know, this thing's going
to
go wrong.
It's a great time marker to realize just how few computers people had in very limited types.
Yeah. That you could actually do that and fix them all. But
I think what the funnier thing was watching society and people realize 21st century wasn't until 2001.
And then we got to 2001, and then something terrible happened in September, and everybody got traumatized again. And things went bad once again, and then we got terrorists, and then then influx. And then, you see, so here we are. Can we wind back the clock? Can we, like, can we bring the world back in time travel, back to 1999? Just to that point, and maybe, all the computers in the world do fail on Y2K. Wouldn't that be interesting?
Yeah.
And then we have to live without computers.
No, it's just fine. It would be wonderful, actually.
Wouldn't it? then we'd still be using cassette tapes. You know, and vinyl.
I'm actually playing a cassette tape. I got one. I like it.
The sound's good, you know.
Going back to cassette is a little scary. things are good, and people just gotta be really wary. I mean, don't look at who's up at the podium speaking. Look at what's recording your vote. I mean, bottom line, do a write-in, write it in manually. Refuse to use the electronic ballot. Refuse to use it. You know, they don't even check ID for voting at all, because it doesn't matter. It's a show. After George Bush, it was a show. Society just didn't realize it. It's a total show. It's just for show. It's staged. They're not really counting the ballots. They weren't counting the ballots, you know, after George Bush, you know, they weren't counting them. You remember all the YouTube people found the receipts for all the votes in garbage bags out back.
Oh yeah, and they, you know, they were open blatantly in Scotland. MI5 were deeply involved in the Scottish vote miscount, which wow. You know, I did a dowsing, you know, and my dowsing's pretty accurate these days, and I got 57% of the Scottish people voted for independence, which is like, that's what you'd expect, because most of the Scots don't like the English, and they especially don't like the English ruling over them, and I completely understand.
The old style default alteration of the ballot was to swing the vote 49-51. It was the standard way it would alter the vote to make it look valid. And you know, you get 10 people vote for person A, or say vote for voting for person B, and 0 people vote for person A, you know, the vote swings, you know, 49-51. And the same thing happened with Brexit. They were given some of the old equipment, or the, so they went to a better alteration program.
So they probably put a new fascia on the machine and sent them off to Scotland to press this button. I actually wouldn't know. Wonder what. Yeah. We do have paper votes as well.
They should have 2 separate computers. You know?
Well, yeah, really, they should have it should make a card. It should be like the old fashioned, the old days when you had a computer card, right? And you give them a credit card size thing, and it takes a hole out of it. It takes an actual hole out of it, and that hole represents the party you're voting for. And you just count the count the things with holes in them, you know, and it's got your card, it's got your photograph on it, or some other biometric, and then that's your vote, and it's got a hole in it. You can't miscount. It's a hole punched in plastic by the machine, and you can check it. That's it. And then those would be easy to count with, you know, with mechanical devices. It's not digital. You couldn't leave it to digital. That's far too unsafe. I don't care. I don't care about your algorithms. I don't care about your encryption. Yeah. Leaving it to digital is not good enough. Yeah. But anyway, so voting is out. What do you think? How do people starve this beast, do you think?
Just are. It's, I don't know. It's, I know it doesn't involve having what you got in the White House right now. Kind of. it does. But, I mean, what did people think of, Hillary?
the general opinion on the Wolf Spirit Radio and Revolution Radio is that, Hillary is an insane, murderous, hypocritical, cowardly bully. Did I say murderous? Yeah, she's murderous. We're aware of. We know what these people are like. None of them are likable. None of them are nice. You know.
Those same people who voted for what's currently residing in the White House would vote for her.
Well,
guarantee it.
Yeah,
vote for her.
For reasons that are beyond wanting the real thing or wanting truth. It's just because of my father or my mother did this before me.
I will say people do have a chance with Trump. Good people have a chance.
Yeah, people don't like Trump either because they're trying to, well, I think the press is trying to discredit him all the time.
Oh yeah, which is fine, which is a good sign.
But, exactly.
Yeah, Hillary just bought out, the media more. Yeah.
Apparently, yeah. Hillary has has a lot of bribes. The reason she's so schlepping onto the whole thing, that she has to become president, because she made a load of people promises that when she was president, that she would give them all these benefits and advantages. And so she's just got to make it, or they're going to kill her.
Trump, just didn't buy out CNN enough. I wonder if she asked $220 million over, $120 million to CNN for a $400,000 a year job.
Yeah, she's a lawyer, right?
Isn't she? Being president, you make a lot of money. I mean, yeah, a couple of hundreds of millions, at least.
And, some people know that they're going to be president through certain agencies, let's say. Do you think that, that Hillary has been given the same kind of promise?
Huh? Do I think Hillary what?
Do you think that Hillary has been told that, she will definitely be president?
She was told Hillary wouldn't be.
All right.
Clearly. She was mad at when, one of the people, did it before she was going up to the podium. And, you remember those reports where Hillary was seen in two different states at the same time?
Oh yeah.
She has a clown. No. She was traversing distance very quickly.
She was using what do you call it these days? What's the
I don't know.
You don't know. I suppose yeah. Because you're only used to the old technology. Yeah, yeah. So
I don't know. But you know, I wouldn't say she was a clone.
I wouldn't say she was a clone. I would say that there was a female impersonator who is the one who's like 40 years old looking.
I'll tell you, there's one Air Force One.
And yes, we've spoken about this, this little, delicious little nugget. But that,
or anything, are we?
No, we're not on air at all. Nobody's listening. You can tell me anything. Tell me all the government secrets. No. You must understand that sometimes Mr. Sillings is still under contract with certain things. He can't speak about some things and we can speak about other things and sometimes
has fuel on it.
Uh huh.
It's like kerosene. Yeah, which is how it traverses distance really quick. But, Hillary's scary. Totally scary. Yeah. I made a little play. I made a little fun there.
Yeah, people have to be very careful about criticizing Hillary. And it's very interesting because it just is a reflection of how her father was, really.
I actually haven't researched it.
She and Angela Merkel might be sisters. Yeah, I know.
Well, Angela Merkel is Hitler's daughter.
Exactly.
Yeah. I mean, is.
Exactly.
She is.
Exactly.
She's nice. She's a nice woman. Honestly. I mean, to some degree. It's gotten a little darker over the,
As those bags have sagged further and further down away from her eyes.
But in the 90s and stuff, very nice person. Really. But, you know, decision making? Wow. Well, that was, you know. Yeah, didn't I tell you Angela Merkel was Hitler's daughter back a while back, or reminded you? Or,
many people have spoken about this, actually. It's a common thread. But the idea that, the idea that, Hillary and Angela are sisters, well, I mean, if you stand them side by side, this information was given to me by a particular friend of ours, who's lovely.
Well,
we love him.
I wouldn't go as far as to say, you know, blood relations, you know, to any, immediate definition.
Yeah. But anyway, there's a certain similarity in character, isn't there? Well, not in character.
There is. Yeah, there is. Yeah.
Anyway, just a thing, just a thought, And then we have, talking of bags under the eyes, we have Theresa May, right? Who is like, this is what we've got in Britain. And we didn't even elect her. I mean, she didn't even go through the charade of having an election that she's fixed. So she just like stepped in, like David Cameron, Pigswiller, you know, get out. I'm worse, you know. She's got this, she's just bad. She's just bad news, really. I can feel it in my blood. And we had Margaret Thatcher, and it's almost like, please come back, Margaret. You were nice compared with this woman. No, really.
Milkman.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Thanks for the grand, yeah. Pauline Robin Wood. Yeah, exactly.
Wow.
have you got someone firing up? That sounds like a bagpipe in the background. Someone warming up some bagpipes.
Yeah. No. I gotta get going pretty soon.
All right.
JP, it was fun talking to you.
It's been great. Thank you so much, Will. I know how difficult it is for you to appear and to say certain things. And, I'd like to thank you very much. And, please.
Well, I'm under constraints and stuff. And I don't want to say too much, but free energy devices are always awesome.
They are indeed. And, it's been very interesting to talk about. We can talk about the physics. I like to talk about the physics of these things so that people can build their own versions and experiment.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for spilling the beans on those things.
All right. Thanks, JP. Talk to you later.
God bless you. We love you. Good night, William.
Night.
There you go. So, William B. Stillings, time traveler, chrononaut, inventor, and generally goofy person. It's great to speak with him. As I said, we've been speaking over the years. Everything he says, fits in. It's all consistent. Everything is very consistent with, things that he said before. And, you know, as we've been talking over the last couple of hours, he's put some predictions out that have come true. It's, you know, it's prediction evening. Let's see what Muggsy is going to come up with in the next time. If you're listening to Wall Spirit Radio, you're listening to, Journeys with JP, which is simulcast with Revolution Radio from freedomslips.com, which is a listener supported station. Please go along to Freedom Slips and, click the donation button and put some dollars in. I did so today. So, thumbs up, Mike. And indeed, if you want to go to wallspiritradio.com/listen, join in the chat room there. So we got you got the Revolution Radio chat room and you've got the Wall Street Radio chat room. And it's a nice place, I have to say. It's where, you know, all the dogs are sitting around sort of snoring and the fires and the children are playing in the background before they go away to bed. Anyhow, so yes, indeed. So thank you very much, Will, for coming on. So where are we? We're 10 minutes away. Yes. If you'd like to call in and give me your response, 775-773-3431, or indeed Freedom Screen 2, if you're coming in on Skype, but I don't know how if that's ever going to work. Skype is just really pants at the moment. I know I really want to apologize to everybody who's been trying to call in and not get the connection, because Skype is just now deciding that it doesn't like some people's computers and it doesn't let them join the round table call. So we're going to have to find other methods than Skype. And you know, why can't it be how it was? Why can't they just leave things alone? And anyway, so yeah, Will's just left the show, but thank you. We're about 10 minutes away from the end of the show anyway. Right, well, so that was very interesting. No, I didn't discern any new predictions out of that, but I'm very pleased with his progress on the battery. And basically what will happen is that this battery, once it's, you know, it's finished its long life, you can just stick it in the compost, because it's just carbon, you know, it's carbon polyvinyl, and you know, it's just all degradable. And so that's one great advantage of these devices that are based on carbon, that like us, carbon-based life forms, carbon-based battery forms, energy forms. It's very good. Oh, except having being children playing in the room, not the other one. Anyway, so yeah, if anybody wants to call in for the last few minutes, and you know, I know that everybody's going to call in at 55 and 56, and it's just too late. So if you have to call in now, but then it's going to be 55 or 53, and it'll just be too late. I might as well just talk. Maybe I should play some music. Maybe I should play guitar. Anyway, meanwhile, do tune in on Thursday. You know, and my next live show will be Thursday with Jessica Morocco. We're getting big on YouTube, actually. We get about 600, 700 viewers a week on this show. And it's getting quite popular, and people are coming in, and if you want to check it out, go to www.andronicustransmissions.com, Andronicus Transmissions. It's an ongoing series of readings that I'm doing that are not quite channeled. They're received telepathically. And it's a big difference from being channeled, because she's seeing the person in front of her, taking dictation or writing down the conversation that she has with them. Anyhow, I've been voicing them for over a year now, and they've become kind of larger than life characters, who pop in and out of time indeed, exist as our historic characters. And all of that stuff. Yeah, so he's not a time traveler from the future, but yes. So Will was part of the government project called Project Pegasus. You look it up on the internet, you'll see. Andronicus Transmissions is my guilty pleasure, says Bingage 1945. Indeed, I can't tell you what kind of, it's 2 hours out of a week for me, right? And at the beginning, she said, look, I was doing this reading for somebody, and then this other character point came through, and I started writing down, what he said. Would you mind reading it out? And, that's where it started, and, I never realized that I had so many silly voices inside my head. And it kind of gives voice to different characters. They're archetypes. They're, you know, everybody's got these archetypes inside them, and in a way, reading them out brings out my inner meters, my inner sort of trickster, you know, guitar player, songster. It's quite an interesting thing. As I said, there is a character who appears to Jessica, called Metis, who, he runs, what's the word? What do you say? He sails close to the wind, he's an edgy character. And he, also leaves a song. He writes a song for Jessica every week. And, so all I get is these lyrics, you know, just lines after lines of lyrics. And, I pick up my guitar and I look at these lyrics and I just allow my hand to fall on a chord, and then fall on another one and another one and, come up with a chord progression and then start singing a song. And there I go, and I make up the tune. So thank you very much. This has been Journeys with JP with William Stillings. Thank you very much, everybody, and good night.